From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will give insights into the various aspects of our Lord's temporal ministry, from His teaching and miracles to His atoning death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's meditation is entitled The Mighty Magnet. The text is John chapter 12 and verse 32, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Come, ye workers, be encouraged. You fear that you cannot draw a congregation. Try the preaching of a crucified, risen, and ascended Savior, for this is the greatest draw that was ever yet manifested among men. What drew you to Christ but Christ? What draws you to Him now but His own blessed self? If you have been drawn to religion by anything else, you will soon be drawn away from it. But Jesus has held you and will hold you even to the end. Why, then, doubt His power to draw others? Go with the name of Jesus to those who have hitherto been stubborn, and see if it does not draw them. No sort of man is beyond this drawing power. Old and young, rich and poor, ignorant and learned, depraved or amiable, all men shall feel the attractive force. Jesus is the one magnet. Let us not think of any other. Music will not draw to Jesus, neither will eloquence, logic, ceremonial, or noise. Jesus Himself must draw men to Himself, and Jesus is quite equal to the work in every case. Be not tempted by the quackeries of the day, but as workers for the Lord, work in His own way, and draw with the Lord's own cords. Draw to Christ, and draw by Christ. For then Christ will draw by you.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is sufficient for me, and its fountain as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. In the course of these broadcasts, Dr. Cairns is preaching a series on the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today he commences the first of two messages on the theme, The Commanding Christ. The principal text is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the account of the miraculous catch of fish. Peter and his partners had fished all night and caught nothing. When Christ told them to go back and cast their nets into deep water, Peter was reluctant, yet he obeyed the Lord's word. The result was an enormous catch of fish, showing the power of Christ's word and causing Peter to see his own sinfulness as well as Christ's glory. The incident is full of vital spiritual instruction for all of God's people. Now Dr. Cairns introduces this message, The Commanding Christ.
We're turning in God's Word this morning as we continue our studies in the life of Christ to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, or more accurately, was on the point of breaking, so full was it. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. You will remember that in studying the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not dealing with all that he said or even with all that he did. For that would be a very, very long series indeed. What we are doing is looking at these things as they help us to understand more about his person, his perfections, his purpose, and his saving power. Now, today we will start looking at a group of events that followed that long, rather typical day in the life of Christ that we studied last time we were together under the theme of Christ the Great Physician. Remember, we looked at how busy the Lord Jesus was, how crammed the day was with one event after another. Now, the events that we start looking at now followed hard on the heels of that day as the Lord continued his great Galilean ministry. This grouping of events, let me give you them so that you'll at least know where we're going. It starts with Luke 5, where he says, launch out into the deep. Having taught the people out of the boat, launch out into the deep, and they brought in a great draught of fish. Then, continuing in Luke 5, verse 12 through 16, and this is also found in Mark chapter 1, there is another cleansing of a leper, very similar to the one that we noted in Matthew chapter 8, but I think sufficiently distinct. Then in Matthew 8 again, we have the treatment of two would-be disciples. A scribe comes and says, I'm willing to leave all and follow you. Jesus answered, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. That was enough for that scribe. And then another person came to him and says, suffer me first to go and bury my father. We'll talk a little bit more about how incongruous a statement that was when we get there. Then there was the stilling of the storm when the disciples were with him out in the sea of Galilee. The storm whipped up by a mighty, whipped the sea up into a mighty fury. And even those experienced fishermen thought that they were sinking and going down to their death. They said, save us, we're perishing. And he rebuked the wind and the sea. That was followed by the casting out of demons from two men in the country of the Gergesenes. And then there is that remarkable incident that's found in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where a paralytic man was brought into the house where Jesus was. And when they couldn't get in, they broke through the roof. They dropped him down through the roof. And when he saw their faith, the Lord Jesus, first of all, said to the man, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And when the scribes and Pharisees began to think within themselves, "This is blasphemy," he rebuked them and said, "Which is easier to say to him, 'Your sins be forgiven,' or 'Rise up and walk'?" Now, this list presents a very wide array of subject matter. That's why I say we're not going to be looking at every individual thing to see what it says about all the characters involved. We're not looking at the subjects as such. They have a clear connecting theme about them that tells us something great about the Lord Jesus. As I pondered these events that really came close one upon the heels of the other, I thought that at this particular stage in his Galilean ministry, the theme that the Lord Jesus was setting before the people was that of the commanding Christ. In every case here, there is an outstanding example of the sovereign authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In every case, we see his word and his will as law. In every realm, heaven, earth, and even hell. Now, this is a glorious vision for us to get. The commanding Christ, the Christ of sovereign authority, the Christ of divine power. That's a great vision to get, because he is still the same. Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday and today and forever. Great old Reformed Presbyterian preacher of the 19th century and into the 20th, actually, he preached about 4 miles from where I lived in Ballymoney. And he translated that statement, "Jesus Christ is the same." He said, it simply says, "Jesus Christ is himself." I like that translation. That's why he's the same. He's himself yesterday and today and forever. When you see in the pages of the Gospels the commanding Christ, the Christ who can speak and heaven hears, who can speak and earth obeys, who can speak and hell submits, remember, that is the Christ whom we worship. That is the Christ whom we preach. Now, how and when he exercises this glorious sovereign power will be according to God's eternal, all-wise purpose. But let's just keep it in mind. He's just as irresistible and full of power today as ever before. Now, when we look at these events, we'll deal with three distinct strands of thought. There's the historical, for this is history. This is not what the neo-Orthodox people tell us, some sort of super history. It doesn't matter whether it actually happened in time and space or whether it didn't. It's some sort of a spiritual history to give us spiritual teaching. If it's not real history, then it's not worth the paper it's written on as far as spiritual teaching goes. You can't base spiritual truth on historical lies. Let's understand that. This is historical. We'll deal with the history. But there's also the theological strand of thought, and then the devotional. In other words, what I'm saying simply is that each historical event that I have mentioned here, and that's true of all the events of the Gospels and of the Scriptures, each one of them carries both theological and devotional implications that we will try to note. Now, we're going to start in Luke chapter 5 as we think of the commanding Christ. We're going to note the command that he gives as he says to Simon Peter, "Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught." Launch out Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. And as you see this in the context of what follows, here the Lord Jesus Christ commands the success of his work. Now let's back up for a moment. At this particular juncture in the Lord's ministry, the 12 disciples had not been fully and finally called and gathered together. Peter and James and John and Andrew had indeed been called, but they were, if we could sort of put it this way, they were still part-time. That comes through very clearly if you compare Scripture with Scripture. They returned to their jobs. Perhaps there had to be a day or two or a week or two when they had to be back at the boats. And here we find them back at the job. Back at the fishing. It seems to me that they worked mostly with Christ all day, got as little sleep as they needed, and then worked the fishing all night. I gather that's certainly what they did at this time, and it would appear a fairly good guess that they did it with some regularity. In any case, we read that Peter says, "We have toiled all night." They were out in the ships all night. Now, don't let that just skip over your head as something easy to read. To be up all night, any night, can be quite an ordeal. I know that. I spent many a night when I get up and spend the night in my study or whatever, and that's when Joan, when I go to bed about 6 or 7 in the morning, that's when Joan fulfills that thing she has, or she was going to buy for our refrigerator. Sometimes I wake up grumpy. Sometimes I just let him sleep. Well, it's not easy to spend up your time up all night. But especially on a fishing boat. I spent a week on a professional fishing boat off the Irish coast going out of Port of Ogie. Wouldn't you know it had to be one of the windiest and worst weeks of the whole fishing season. It was a herring fishing time. And if ever I gained respect for fishermen, I gained it then. I don't think that construction workers work half as hard as fishermen. I have to say that they're usually not half as well paid either. But it's a rough, tough life. It's action and it's danger at every step. These men were toiling, and when Peter says we toiled, he meant that. We toiled all night. After toiling all night, he sees his boat turned into a pulpit as the Lord Jesus uses it from which to address the people. And immediately after that, turns to Peter and says, "Now Peter," or Simon as he was then called, "launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught." Now Peter was tired, and he was weary of fishing. What's more, Peter knew his lake, and he knew that humanly speaking, it was a waste of time going out. Bishop Ryle points out that the way the Savior commanded this was a particular trial of any fisherman's faith, because he said not just launch out and let down the nets, but launch out into the deep. And as Ryle points out, any professional fisherman knew that that's the last place you're likely to find the fish. They didn't get their great catches out in the deep. If you go visiting the Sea of Galilee to this day, you'll see where they cast their nets is not out in the deep. But Jesus said, "Peter, you've toiled all night, you've caught nothing. I know that, but still, into the deep." Peter registers his mild little protest. "Master, we have toiled. We are weary." But then he says, and this is where faith kicks in, Nevertheless, that's a great word. I remember a Reformed Presbyterian minister preaching a whole sermon on that one word. Beautifully constructed sermon. far beyond me to do it. I couldn't have the discipline to do it. He must have been reading it or something, or have memorized it, but he went right through the Bible, situation after situation after situation, and the connecting theme every time was, nevertheless, nevertheless. Study it sometime. Because there's many a time in your life when nevertheless has to come into play. When the Lord commands, the Lord calls, the Lord directs, and everything in your flesh cries out against it, everything in your experience cries out against it, but you bow before the Lord and say, Lord, nevertheless, my thoughts, let them perish. My purposes, let them perish. My experience, let it all be a lie. Indeed, let every man be a liar, and let God be true. I will stand by what the Lord says. That's what Peter was saying here.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.